You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 47. And my guest today is Jennifer. Now, this is a beautiful dream, a lovely outcome, and a beautiful dream alchemy at the end as well. So it's one that you'll all be able to relate to. And in particular, any of you who are working in any of the alternative medicine, alternative health fields, and I know there are a lot of you listening in, this will be particularly one that perhaps a lot of you will be able to relate to, and for everybody else too. Some wonderful dilemmas, some wonderful conclusions, and of course, lots of great dream interpretation tips to gather along the way. So here we go. I give you Jennifer. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. I was just having a little chat there with you just before we started recording, and you said that as well as a dream, you've got a question you'd like to ask. So I thought, well, don't tell me now. Let's ask me in front of everybody that's listening in, because if it's interesting to you, it's interesting to everyone. So how about we start off with your question before your dream?
Sure. Recently, I was given a book about how to become a lucid dreamer. And I was thinking about it, and I read a little bit of the beginning and decided not to read more, because I was wondering, if you go into your dream, you become a lucid dreamer and start to control your dreams, does that then change the therapeutic benefit? Or if you're becoming a lucid dreamer and able to change the outcome of your dreams, is that sort of like doing dream alchemy, but right at the moment inside your dream?
That's an excellent two or three questions wrapped in one. That's really interesting. And before I answer it, have you had experience of lucid dreaming yourself?
Not really. Mm. Maybe sometimes, but very rarely.
Yeah. It's a great question. I'll just define it in case there's anybody listening in that isn't sure what lucid dreaming is first. You know how when you normally dream, you think this is the dream? Like, you know, you're really surprised when you wake up and find that you also have a waking life. It's like the dream is everything. Well, sometimes it's not quite like that. Sometimes, occasionally in a dream, while you're still dreaming, you'll go, hang on a minute. This is a dream. And it's not just like part of the dream scenario. It really is an intense feeling of I am awake. I'm lying in my bed and I'm conscious of that. And I am also full on dreaming at the same time, not visualizing, not half dreaming, not drifting, but actually full on in the dream. And what you have at that moment is obviously lucid dreaming. You become lucid about the fact, aware about the fact that you are dreaming. And talking to everyone here, as Jennifer's just pointed out, that then gives you the choice to control the dream, because you know that you're dreaming. You, instead of letting the dream unroll and you're part of the drama, you actually have the choice to change the direction. So that's what a lucid dream is. And when you experience it for the first time, it is absolutely mind-blowing, because it is the most bizarre sensation of actually having two realities. And when you're in it, it's actually quite difficult to distinguish which seems to be more real to you. You know, it really throws you into a quandary of, well, is my waking life so, you know, 100% really it, when this dreaming life, when I can put them, the two side by side, both seem equally real and equally vital. So that's a lucid dream. To get to your question, Jennifer, I agree, personally, I agree with your caution. Because, you know, to me, the dream, if you're not lucid while you're dreaming, the dream is your unconscious mind processing particularly the last 24 to 48 hours of your life. And so you get that opportunity in interpreting the dream to understand how your unique mind is processing the last one or two days of your life. So you get to understand how your unique mind works. You get to understand what your unconscious beliefs and feelings and memories are. And that is really helpful to you, because you can then wake up and go, I didn't know that I had an unconscious belief about such and such. And now that I know that, I can see why a certain area of my life is turning out the way it is. That's vital information that you can then use alchemy to apply to change an aspect of your life for the better. So the moment you start controlling your dreams, you miss the opportunity for your unconscious mind to reveal itself to you. Instead, you use your conscious mind to almost repress it and, you know, and stop listening and stop watching how it unfolds. But then, Jennifer, you ask the other interesting question is, can you, or kind of embodied in your other question was, can you actually perform alchemy in the lucid dream? And that's where it can be of benefit. So let me make this really simple. If you had a dream, for example, where, you were always being chased by a monster. Say a child has a dream that's always being chased by a monster. So it's a simple dream. And you say to the child, well, look, you know, next time you have the dream, because actually children are very good at this, next time you have the dream and you're chased by that monster, just turn around and say to the monster, oh, what do you want? And as you look at the monster, just notice that it changes into something really, really beautiful, like a good fairy or something, if it's a child, you know. And the dream, when the child has it, you know, the monster will duly change into the dream fairy and the child will go up and hug the dream. And what you're doing there is transferring the kind of alchemy that you would normally give a person to do while they're awake after their dream. You're getting them to do it in the dream. And that is a very, very powerful thing to do. Now, in that particular scenario, what you're doing with a child is not so much getting them to have a lucid dream, but you're kind of programming them that next time you have this dream, you're going to change the outcome. So actually when you do dream alchemy, you know, say I interpret a dream with you and I give you a visualization dream alchemy practice to do, and you do that while you're awake, you know, the required number of times, it quite often happens that a subsequent dream will then bring in some of that visualization and play around with it and actually almost play it straight through in the dream. And that's really powerful. So Jennifer, that's it. You know, yeah, I think it's not a good thing. But on the other hand, if you can bring your alchemy visualization into your dream, if you're having a dream, you suddenly go, I'm lucid. Quick. Where's my dream alchemy practice visualization? I'm going to do it now. That can be very positive. My general advice would be to anyone that's listening that is intrigued by lucid dreaming to maybe give yourself, you know, one day a month or maybe one day every couple of weeks where you'll try it out. But just be aware, if you control the dream, that to try to control it in ways that work positively with what you want to achieve in your life. God, that was a long answer to your question. Does that make sense, Jennifer?
It does. It does. It was exactly my quandary. So that's good.
Okay. Now, to your full-on dream that you're bringing to the show today.
Yeah, it's a bit of a marathon dream, so I'll try not to add on to it. Okay, so the dream begins with me talking to an old acquaintance, sort of friend from high school. I know him now a bit, but really I knew him in high school the best. He's grown up now in the dream and is telling me about his house, although it's his parents' house, but he's talking as if he still lives there. And he's saying how it's very big and that because we haven't been in touch all these years, I haven't seen this new house. We were on some sort of transport together, like a subway train, but it was above ground. And it was traveling possibly down the road where my childhood home is, that I'm not 100% sure about. Then he alludes to some changes at his father's workplace. And when I don't immediately know what he's referring to, he stops, and I get the feeling that he's holding back from telling me more because it has an impact on me since my father is an employee at his father's large business. The next part of the dream is I'm now traveling in a minivan of sorts with my parents on the same road where my childhood home is, and we're heading to my friend's dad's house now, this big house he was telling me about. And I'm asking my parents to clarify what changes or rumors of changes have happened at my dad's work. They're not fully sure, and I'm trying to ask them pointed questions as to whether or not this will affect my father's income. In the dream, I realize that he no longer works there, as if I have a tiny bit of lucidity or consciousness creeping in. And then I recall that, oh, he did retire, but then he went back to work after retiring. The company, which is a large automotive company, which is where he worked for real, is possibly going to be offering a buyout to get older employees to retire. And the feeling I get from my parents is that they're uneasy that this change may affect their retirement funds from this company. Then we go to my friend's dad's house, who owns this large company, and the house is huge. It's like an office tower shaped in a U, many, 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 many floors. So it's this big semicircle. And then in the middle of the semicircle is another tower, but it's in the shape of a sphere. And while the sphere is many, many stories high, it's only half as tall as the tower, the U-shaped tower surrounding it or behind it. So we walk in and we're in a very modern entryway that looks like more like a lobby than an entryway, with white leather high-backed chairs. Really modern or even a bit futuristic. And I'm thinking to myself that this isn't a very homey feeling walking into this home. And I'm wondering where we'll have our meeting about the changes that are going on with the company and how it will affect my parents. Then we enter a meeting room, or more like a boardroom, that I think also has more white leather high back chairs. And I'm thinking to myself again, how homey, unhomey this home is, that it's more like an office tower than a home. Then the next part of the dream, I'm now looking at the house from a distance, and it seems to be situated where my parents' house would be if I were looking at it from the next concessions. My parents live in the county, and the building is mostly covered in gold reflective glass, but it's as if they use different colored reflective glass in places, and it's twinkling and sparkling in the sunset in many colors with the gold as a base. This is set amid brown fields with nothing growing at the time. And so it looks like a futuristic building in the middle of this country farmland setting, like almost like an anachronism, but it's pretty. Anyway, then the next part is I'm at my childhood house, which seems to be also the older, less grand house of this high school friend from the beginning of the dream. And he's there as well. But now he's completely morphed into a different person. And he looks completely different. And he has a really mean attitude, like a cranky and angst teenager. And at this house, there is a next top model competition happening. And they're down to the final four girls. And I'm one of them. It's actually, this amuses me, but anyway, I'm getting ready for the photo shoot challenge and I'm asking the other girls for advice because I feel really insecure about how to get a good photo because I have no idea what I'm doing. And they're all helping me and they're giving me really good advice. And I'm really surprised at how supportive they are since they're my competitors. And usually on these programs, the girls are really young and catty and it actually annoys me. As part of the challenge, we are assigned rooms to get ready in, and I'm assigned a room of this older high school friend, the now evil dark-haired version of himself. But it's at the same time also the room of my oldest brother, who actually still lives at home with my parents and is in this room. When it's announced that I've been assigned to this room, the other girls all make gasping noise and go, ooh, because they know this is a really mean person and it will be tough as part of the challenge that I have to get along with this person. So we are all dressed up and made up for our photo shoot wearing different colors of the exact same dress. Each dress has a neckline in a V shape with a band of gold sequins. And my dress, the color of it was a dark teal and each girl had a different color. It was really form fitting and I was bustier than normal in the dress, like much more buxom than I actually am. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't have my baby tummy anymore. And I felt really stuffed into the dress because I was so buxom, but I really liked the dress. So I go into this room and find out that another one of the girls has also been assigned the same room, and I feel a little bit relieved that someone else is there. And then also part of me feels like I've lost some special attention at the same time. Then I show her flowers that are in bloom that have grown so big and tall that they've reached the windows of the second floor where we are. And I explain to her that they are my mom's daffodils and magnolias from her tree. They're really, really large, like tropical large, and very bright and beautiful pink and orange, and getting to the end of their full bloom. I then realize I need to use the bathroom and walk out of the bedroom to its ensuite bathroom, which is actually my grandmother's front porch. It's glassed in, and half of the glass has been frosted over to give some privacy, but the other half of the porch hasn't been. So I go to the toilet stall, and in front of the toilet, there is a half-height frosted glass in front of it. So if you sit behind it on the toilet, from the chest down, you can eliminate in privacy. So I use the toilet, and as I do, I can see people through the non-frosted glass going about their day, and some of them are looking my way. I realize that I've used this bathroom before, and while it's not my preference, oh well, I have to do what I have to do and I can get it over with. And while I was in the bathroom at one point, I turned into the character Samantha from Sex and the City. And I used her character to express my distaste for the bathroom and possibly telling onlookers to look away, which again is funny. And then the dream ended here. And I was feeling to myself like, uh-oh, I think I might be the next person eliminated in this challenge because I feel completely out of my element. I don't know how to, you know, take a photo shoot. I've never done this sort of thing before. That's the end.
So you, and that's how you woke up feeling a little bit like, oh, I'm in an uncomfortable position here. I'm not sure. I think I might be eliminated. That's how you woke up.
Yeah. I didn't know what was coming.
Yeah. Well, fantastic recall, Jennifer. I love it. I'm going to go all over the place with this one. And, you know, I'm just in passing. Oh, I just realized that's a terrible pun. But in passing, you talked about being on the toilet and just getting on with eliminating. And then you wrapped the dream by saying, I think I'm going to be eliminated here. So there's a lovely dream pun in a way there of what, you know, elimination and eliminating things from my life. And, oh, maybe I'm going to eliminate me as well. We'll come back to that. Two questions. One, was it towards the end of the dream there, you were assigned the room which actually belonged to one of your brothers who does still live at home. Mm-hmm. What's his personality or approach to life, that brother, in waking life?
Oh, he's an interesting character. He's really, really, really insecure and very shy to put his foot out in the world, which is why he's still with my parents. And he's a really sweet person and caring, but he's very insecure. That's the easiest way to say it. Right.
And the other one, the increasingly dark man, the one that you knew from school that you said was kind of mean and who got increasingly
his hair got black.
Yeah. He got increasingly dark and evil as the dream went on. apart from being mean, how is he, with respect to stepping out in the world or hiding from the world? What are his, feelings or approaches to life about going public?
He doesn't want to do it. He's cranky about having to do it. He doesn't want to have to take the responsibility and get out there and do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
I think that's like that angst teenager. I'm going to rebel. I don't want to have to do it the way everyone else has done it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Cause we're just putting some of the personalities here together. And Samantha, I think Samantha from Sex and the City, probably everybody listening knows, but if you'd just like to summarize for everyone three words that would, you associate with Samantha's attitude.
certainly sexual would have to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Very strong, like powerful, strong. And well, I don't know. I think that would summarize it. Very in her own power and very safe and lots of freedom. Very, very free.
Yeah. So she's free and in her own power, and she wouldn't have any problems going out in the world and doing whatever she wanted to do, as she does.
Not at all.
Yeah. Whereas one opposite to that in the dream, or one opposite to that in your life too, is your brother who's still at home and doesn't want to step out into the world. And the increasingly dark, evil character in the dream, your friend, aka your friend, has a different kind of issues about stepping out. He does want to step out, but he wants to step out in his own rebellious way, he's got teenage angst about, I'll step out, but I'll step out under my own terms, and therefore probably I won't step out at all. You know, those kind of issues there. So I'm just sort of making some general observations before we go in, and I was just started there by looking at some of the characters in your dream and looking for, you know, where some of them are similar and where some of them are opposite. And from that, putting some things together, because of course everyone in a dream is a reflection of yourself. And I know from our little chat just before we went on air, and also from your reference there when you put on the lovely dress and you said, oh, I'm losing my baby tummy, I do know that you're a new mum. And so, you know, this is a time for a lot of change in your life, obviously, and a lot of, you know, being out in the world in a different place. And I suspect that a lot of this dream is looking at issues underneath that. And did you notice, Jennifer, how in the early part of your marathon dream, apart from you, every character was male? I mean, there was reference to your mum and dad, but the emphasis was on the men and the company and the car company and everything. And then suddenly,
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And then when you got to the switch and you were in the new model competition, there was quite a change of energy too, because you had, oh, this is lovely. Like, I haven't done this before, but this is lovely having all the support from the women. And then from that point on, you got the more female elements in your dream. You had the beautiful flowers, and you're particularly not only noticing, you know, the flowers which are blossoming, which is a kind of female, rounded, beautiful, sensual thing. And you had, you know, you were more buxom in the dream. So that's again, sort of nurturing female, kind of sensation. And then that's when you then locked into your mom. You're talking about your mom because you're talking about the flowers. And then you're talking about your grandmother. So there's another female, you know, and then it was Samantha. So we do sort of do this big switch in the dream, even though the male characters carry through. There's a switch.
Very interesting. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And on the surface, you could say, oh, well, you know, you've become a new mom. And so female issues are important to you at the moment, or how I am in the world as a mother. And of course, those are vital and important. But these also go much deeper, you know, becoming a mother and all the changes that go with it, you know, questioning if you continue working, how you continue work, you know, and all these other things, apart from how I will be as a mother in the world, actually often serve to bring up any issues you've got about mothering or being female, and ultimately often actually, you know, make you into an even better, even more roundy person, because in looking at what may be limitations or feelings you have about, you know, the female side or being a woman in the world, often you break through those and open up and become better in the long run. So what I'm talking you through this change thing, because I'm sure you'll have, you know, picked that up from your own dream, that, you know, there's parts in your dream right at the beginning where you're going back and looking at a house from the past, and you keep going back to the past, the childhood home, your childhood, in a sense, your dad before he retired, all those things are past. And then there's a point in the dream where it's, oh, you're looking at this U-shaped building with a sphere in it, and you say, oh, it looks very futuristic. So we go from past in your dream, from you looking at your past, to you looking at what could be your future and how you, you know, how you feel about all of that. So this is about change. You know, you look back at the old house and it's changed in certain ways, and you're evaluating the dream. Well, how did these changes come about? Do I like them? Do I feel comfortable or not? So this all together, and we'll go into greater detail, is about the changes that you're facing or that you're going through now, and how you are going back, you know, within your dreaming mind to explore some aspects of your childhood and your upbringing, and then projecting forward and looking at all of that. So how are we doing so far?
It's good. There's some other big issues that I think might be reflected, but we'll see when you ask some more if you think.
Okay, that's great.
It's the same thing that I think.
Okay, that's excellent. I love the, I'm going to jump all over the place, but I love the feeling how, when you look at the futuristic dream, the first thing you, futuristic building, one of the first things you note about it is it's in a U shape. And dreams do wordplay and puns, so that, you know, this is also a Y-O-U. This is the shape of you, okay, as it could be. And there's a sphere there too, which of course, you know, is often a sphere is a whole ball, a whole globe. It's a, almost like a holistic thing. So this could be the potential of, again, a more rounded, a more whole you possibilities coming up here. Although your response to them in the dream is, oh, I'm not sure about that. Essentially, it looks more like an office. I'm not sure. It doesn't feel like home. It's not really that comfortable. So my feeling at that point was that, you know, one level that you may be going through at the moment is the question of work. How am I in my career and my working world and my working aspirations now that I'm a mum of a still small baby? How do I feel about this? Maybe even thinking about working from home or bringing work into the home and playing around with all that idea. Your dream suggesting that at the moment you don't feel particularly comfortable about that. Although by the same token, you can see it as some kind of whole, package deal, you know, the sphere, like this could actually suit. It's kind of, it looks good. It's futuristic, but you know, I'm just not entirely comfortable about, this kind of image of myself at the moment. See, later on in the dream, you're in the model competition. And you know, you're going, essentially the competition to see who wins the next new model. So this is you remodeling yourself and looking at yourself and going, well, how is the new Jennifer going to look? What are the possibilities here? And you get an interesting juxtaposition at that part of the dream, because on the one hand, you mention competition a lot. I mean, A, it is a competition. You know, someone's going to win, the others are going to lose. And B, you know, there's quite a heavy emphasis on, or I might be eliminated here. Oh dear, you know, so there's like, I do actually want to win, I think. And then counterposing that, you are really surprised about how supportive everyone is. Almost like, well, don't they know this is a competition? Or almost even like, maybe it's not about winning. Maybe it's actually, maybe I actually value the support and the kind of networking and the, you know, maybe it's about doing your own thing, as Samantha would definitely say at the end.
Certainly.
what competition? You just go out and do what you want to do. So
that's right. Yeah.
So there's elements of maybe you know, looking at how you feel about competition and doing your best and doing, you know, being a winner, and pitching that against all the females in your dream, your mom and your grandmother, and particularly sitting on the toilet at the end, which is about, you know, letting go and, you know, as you said, eliminating, letting go of what needs to be let go of sometimes in our lives. So there's a sense there of, there's something about maybe my grandmother's attitudes or what I learned from my grandmother that I'm kind of comfortable with. I'm half comfortable with, but I also half want to just let go, you know, and grandmother is kind of like the opposite to Samantha, maybe, you know, this is something that I think you said in, when you're talking about the dream, sometimes it's things that you just need to, you just got to do them. So, hey, you know, you've got to eliminate something from your life, in order to be more like Samantha. And maybe what you're eliminating in, and this isn't in the dream, but I'm picking this up, but maybe what you're eliminating is the sense of competition in some way, so that you could move forward to that futuristic, you know, how am I going to be in the future? The U shape with a sphere and everything. But rather than it being office-like and sharp and not homely and not comfortable and maybe competitive, maybe that's what you eliminate in order to be able to go on and do wonderful things, but bringing in more of your female comfort. It's not competitive. It's about just doing what you want to do kind of attitude. And then linked in there somewhere is also, you know, the dream giving the clues about there's the teenage angst rebellious part. So, you know, part of you is going, oh, I, Jennifer, was perhaps either outwardly rebellious as a teenager or tried to keep it very quiet that I felt rebellious. And it's coming up for a bit for me now because, you know, what do? Do I step into the traditional mother role or do I rebel against that and do it, albeit loving my child and my husband and my family? Can I do it in a different way? Is this rebellion? You know, and all of those issues. And the other issue wrapped up in it is, you know, as represented by your brother in the dream, is how comfortable do I feel about going public? There's still more other things I want to come through, but I'm just talking so much. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your own dream here.
Sure. Well, there's some really great themes there for me. And the bits about motherhood, it's true. And these are things that have been coming up for me. And especially thinking about, I can't necessarily work from home, but doing more things from home. The big issue that's going on for me right now, and even though you've been comparing the themes in the dream to motherhood, they've actually been really good for what I'm working through, is mostly about work, the choice of work that I've made, which is fabulous. And I had the chance to follow my love and do the many, many years of school to become this type of a professional. But it's because it's a new type of professional, it's not very well known. And so it's been really hard to make a go of it without really, really marketing and putting myself out there constantly. And it's something that I struggle a bit with because I didn't understand when it's the type of medicine that I practice. I didn't understand when I signed up to, you know, go to this med school and go through, you know, 9 years post-secondary education that at the end of it, I was going to have to explain to people, yes, I'm valid. Yes, I did go to med school. Yes, you can come see me for these sorts of things. And so that has been what's mm-hmm. been going on over and over again and really debating between, am I going to put myself out there and advertise, which is, I don't ever see my physician doing that sort of thing. So it feels a bit like, am I making myself look cheap versus if I want to make a living at this profession that I love, then I have to expose myself to the public more.
Yes, that's congratulations for doing 9 academic years on the road to qualifying. That's a huge amount of dedication. and that does explain a lot. Yes, I can see that. And because of the field, because you're going to work or you are already working in a new form of medicine, as you say, that would be more holistic mm-hmm. then, would it?
It's very holistic, yes. I'm a naturopathic physician.
Okay, fantastic. So we've got there with the sphere that is also, I mean, all the female things that are associated with motherhood are also then associated in a sense with being a naturopath, with doing the naturopathic holistic side of what you do, because, you know, the female mm-hmm. Side of everyone's brain, whether you're man or woman. The female side is the right brain. It's the part of the brain that looks holistically rather than looking reductionistically, if there was such a word.
Right.
It's the part of the brain that is, the right brain is more creative, more intuitive, more spiritual, therefore, more holistic, and all those senses more loving and more kind, really, I guess, than the left brain, which is much more analytical and reductionist and, competitive. and more concerned, you know, with the outer world. And I think, you know, this is between the two of us, we're hitting the nail on the head here. To work in alternative therapy, natural therapies, as you're doing there, is really to bring something that is related to the inner world, not only in you, but in the people that come to you, out into the outer world. You know, when you work with someone from, as I do, with the dreams as well, really, you're working with the person's inner world. You're working with a lot within the person that doesn't actually necessarily go on show in the outer world directly.
Yes.
And you're stuck, or you feel that you're stuck with marketing something in outer world terms that is difficult to understand because it's an holistic inner self thing, you know? And in a sense, it's bringing back, you know, even though it's a futuristic and it's an area, as you say, which is actually new. It is a new model. It's a new way, not just for you, but for the world, from what you just told us. It is still bringing and drawing on perhaps many generations of wisdom that has been developed, you know, over many years that you are bringing forward in a new way. So there's that sense of, you know, it, as you've got in the dream, some continuity with the mother and the grandmother, but it goes back to that half panel by your grandmother's toilet. It's like half of this I need to let go and half of this I need to, or maybe the half I need to let go is like, well, that's what goes on behind the frosted glass. That's where I help my clients with the inner world. Whereas what's above that is how I go out and market it, you know, in the world. So you got white vinyl. Now this white leather, that makes so much sense because white, you know, is a spiritual color, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got all the colors of the rainbow in it and it's white light and it's wonderful. But your response in the dream is not like, oh, look at that white. It's, oh, I'm not sure about that. I don't like that. It's very officey. It's very, you know, and there was the mismatch when you stood so far back from your parents' house. It was actually very beautiful because it had all the gold and all the colors into playing in it. But there was, so the house itself was beautiful and reflective. And that's you, beautiful in every way and reflective. But what you felt was you're in the wrong environment. You know, that house seemed to be in a dry environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, now, the dream isn't saying what is. The dream is saying, this is how you see the world. So you may be seeing or perceiving your future as, yes, I know that what I've got is a precious gift, reflective, wonderful. There's no way that you don't, even though you said to me earlier, you're questioning the value of what you've got, your dream suggests you're not. You know, that house is huge, it's gold, it's colourful, it is wonderful. You're not questioning your abilities in this field whatsoever. What you're questioning is your perception of the world. You see the world as dry. There's me, the beautiful big gold house, but it's in the wrong place. So we then have to say, well, are you in the wrong place, or are you seeing, are you expecting a dry welcome from the world, and therefore you're setting that up for yourself, you know? So you're thinking, well, I don't feel comfortable about marketing because they're not going to like it. Or B, you know, I don't feel comfortable. Or you go to market and you're marketing towards convincing what you perceive as a dry public, you know, really working hard to convince them that you've got something credible and worthwhile. Or is it in fact,
right,
it's not dry at all and your marketing may or may not be working because you're marketing to the wrong people? The people are there. They're ready. They want you. You're not marketing to them. You're too busy trying to convince the dry population that you've done 9 years of hard work and that you are also very academic and clever. Do you see where I'm coming
from? Validated,
yeah,
and so on and so
forth. How does that sound?
Yeah. I think particularly the end sounded very true, where I constantly feel like, yes, I have to prove to people so that they understand. For sure, that's part of it. I guess part of the issue is that when I have sometimes a good reception, and sometimes because it's something that's new and not everyone knows about it. And I think there are a lot of people who like to give themselves names that aren't regulated and will say, well, I'm a holistic this or that. And if I choose to approach someone or try to create some marketing opportunity, sometimes I'll get the eye roll, like, oh, you're the fourth person this week sort of thing. And I think, you know, if you understood, you'd know there was a difference. So I do feel constantly like I have to inform people and educate everyone before I can take the next step.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And because your dream has taken you back to childhood there, it's trying to, and particularly through the eyes of that friend that you had, that you still have, is trying to point to some areas of your life there which may be magnifying those very valid feelings that you've got at the moment. You know, so to go back and have a look at, because that character right at the beginning of the dream, that the friend from school, is saying to you, actually, things have changed a lot. You know, look at my house, it's different. So you have done work on yourself which has changed some of your earlier childhood beliefs. But you're still questioning some value around that, like, you know, in the dream, it's, well, how are my dad and mum going to do it? Is the money still going to be there? Are they still going to get the money? Now, we're not, on the surface, you may be talking about being reimbursed for your professional expertise, but on a deeper level, we're talking about money being self-value and self-worth, you know? So that is running through the dream. And God, you know, that building is so gold and so beautiful. Of course, I can personally relate, because you should try being a dream analyst and alchemist. So, I mean, off the top of my head, here's a couple of ways I've coped, and I've been working in this for 20 years. Here, right in front of us is one. I'm podcasting. Now, you may or may not choose the podcast, but what is happening in this kind of model, in a podcasting model, for example, is I put myself way out there. And you probably also know that I do national television here in Australia. Now, when you do national television and you've got a 4 or 5 minute spot, and I love doing it, you've got a 4 or 5 minute spot and you're given 4 or 5 clips of dreamers and asked to be as quick as you can with all of them. Like, we all know that what I'm doing is just giving a little bit of insight or helping to give you as a tip. You know, each of those people I could sit down with an hour to get something really valuable. So I know what you're saying when you say, you go right out there. I'm the Samantha. Look, I'm going to go out there and do it anyway. And in some sense, perhaps it's through these big podcasts, perhaps it's through other work that I do. What I'm saying to you, Jennifer, is, go out and demonstrate it anyway. Demonstrate what you can do anyway. Because if you've got something of value, and I know that you have, because I can see those symbols in your dreams, it's only your own perception that's limiting that, and your feelings about competition and proving yourself. If you've got something of value, it's going to show anyway. So rather than being consumed with the eye rolling, which I understand I meet it a lot too, you know, if I go to a party, I say I'm a writer. It's much easier than explaining anything else. but when you are working, do what you do very well and be prepared to showcase some of it. And as you keep on going, well, you know, your clients are going to come back and say, this has worked for me, or you're demonstrating to people listening in this instance or watching it over the long term that, yeah, this is, I like this. I want some of this, you know, and maybe that's more subtle marketing than going out and talking up people. I'm not giving you suggestions as to what to do. I'm just empathizing with you and giving, you know, making some suggestions from what has worked for me. But coming back to the level of your dream, of course, what this is really about is trying to pick the main unconscious belief that is limiting you at the moment, that in a sense is putting the blinkers on you and keeping you focused on the convincing the end of the market that's probably not going to come to you, instead of going to the market that is waiting for you. And we want to identify that belief and do some alchemy around just shifting your vision, shifting your focus. Because at the end of the day, no matter what anybody does, and particularly if we think of Samantha here, there are people that love Samantha and the people that hate Samantha, and that's all their problem, you know?
That's right.
It's about you doing what you want to do in the world. It's about you having, you know, you said you found your love, you found your passion, you know what to do. Clearly, you're very, very good at it, you know, and I can tell from your voice, you're very clear, you know, you are in alignment with what you are meant to be doing, and that is also good. And so it's going to be a matter of letting your vision really focus on that, so that you just are free to go your own way, rather than maybe the teenage part of yourself that may relate to the rebellious boy, thinking or not so, thinking, I've got to prove myself to everybody here. This has got to be competitive. And, you know, and even letting go of, you've got there the model lineup and the dream, you know, am I going to be eliminated? Could also be compared to, as you say, the people that are not accredited, used a different word, not registered. That are going out and appearing to be the same as you, but you're the one with the accreditation. So that could be sort of part of it. So I think the way to get around to that is go, I, Jennifer, got the accreditation for myself because I wanted it, because I have come from a very academic and traditional background, and I needed to do this for me. And because if anyone ever wants to know and asked, I can say, yes, I've done that, and I've done 9 years. And then let that go. Let any feeling of competition with other people that have had, you know, 2 days practice, two days thinking they might go into alternative medicine and appearing to be in competition with you, let that go. That's their stuff, you know. You do what you do. So if we were to, there's obviously a lot of things in the dream here that I haven't gone into. I did have one other thing I wanted to ask you, and I'll just ask you very quickly because it's going to be a very long podcast either. But the teal color around your neck, what does the teal color mean to you?
I like it. And in fact, I have a shirt from years ago that looks very similar to that dress that I bought for a party that had gold around the neck, and it was this dark teal color.
So you relate that when you had that that color, that dress years ago, what's the significance of that looking back to that time?
You know what? I bought it for a party and it was just happy and I guess a little bit free. I'm thinking of the event that I bought it for. It was very kind of fun and free, and I hadn't graduated yet. I was in doing my internship, and this is what I think of when I think of that dress.
Yeah. Okay. So fun and free, getting into that feeling of thinking, which would be a Samantha thing as well. Very much so.
Certainly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your dream is bringing that up, and it was a lining to the neck. It was also gold, which is everything wonderful. So, you know, the neck communication, speaking out. So it's bringing, at times, just remembering to bring back, what am I doing this for? Because it's my love. I'm not doing it to prove anything. I'm doing it because it's my love. It's my fun. It's my freedom. You know, so that teal color is quite important there, I think, in the dream. So, Jennifer, if you could pick any, if you could summarize from this dream at the moment, because we've covered a lot of things, which particular issue you would, or belief you would like to alchemize, to change within yourself, which would it be?
It would be the need to prove myself, or the insecurity from going out there and feeling great about what I do and not worrying about what other people think.
Okay, that's great. So one of the strongest symbols there is Samantha. One is the teal color then, would you say, as well?
Yes, yeah. Sure.
We've got teal, we've got Samantha. Not wondering. I keep, you know, one I keep coming back to, which I think might fit this, is the fact that that U-shaped white building, although it felt uncomfortable, we can make it comfortable in alchemy. We can change it. Was it bothered me that the sphere was smaller than the U-shape? You know, I'm thinking if that sphere is holistic, if that's everything, maybe it should be the same size as you. Maybe it should be bigger. Maybe it should be united in some way.
Okay.
How does that sound as a...
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to, in alignment with what you said, we want to really give you a more comfortable feeling about being out there in the world, about not being shiny leather officey, but being related to home, because the word home, homely was the word you used, to be homely in a healing, holistic sense, yet to be futuristic, and to have little or no concern about, or actually no concern about competition or what others might think or feel. So I'm thinking Samantha, I'm thinking teal, I'm thinking making that U-shaped building, bringing the sphere into it in some way, and giving it a homely feel.
Okay.
So are you good on visualizations, or do you prefer words like affirmations, or do you prefer artwork? What feels good to you?
Visualizations works really well.
That's great. Okay, so what we want to do when you do a visualization, of course, is it's not just a visualizing. You want to make sure that when you do the visualization, you actually bring up all the positive emotions that you want to have, that you are affirming you will have as an outcome of the change that the alchemy is producing. So those ones for you are like in the teal. They're fun. They're outspoken in a wonderful way, like Samantha. They're flowing with the love of what you do. They're holistic. They are non-competitive, and they are empowered within your own right, not caring about what others think. So those are kind of like the feelings that you're going to bring up in this one. So I'm seeing the building as being a huge white sphere. And rather than having a U shape round it, it's got either your name or the name of your business written in gold letters on the outside. I'm not necessarily going to ask you for your business name unless you'd like to take this opportunity to mention it, which I can do. But
no, you know what? It's because I'm like a physician practicing. It's just my, you know, I practice under my own name and license. So there's not a big business to advertise.
Okay. So imagine you've got, what you do in this visualization is you're going to take that sphere, that wonderful white sphere of the futuristic building, which is your future, and you're going to make it bigger and bigger and bigger in your visualization until it feels just lovely, until it feels that if you go in the door, it's going to be so spacious, so easy breathing, so comfortable. So you're going to make it right up into that lovely, holistic, all-encompassing, wow, this is me, this is a great space to be in. And as you go in the door, because there is a door, look, you can see it right there. It's probably even a round door. It's got a round knob because we're going to keep in the holistic sphere here. But over the outside of the building for everyone to see is your name, your physician name, in gold letters, maybe with a bit of teal in there as well. And the font of those letters are very comforting and very Samantha. They're very out there. They're like, come in if this is for you. And if not, that's okay. You'll come back later because, hey, this is the future. You don't know that one day in the future, you're all going to be queuing up here. But for the moment, come in, those of you who feel comfortable, because I've got something for you and you know who you are. And so you then go through the door yourself in your visualization and you see, yes, it's white because white's a lovely spiritual color. It's got all the colors of the rainbow in it, but it's a soft white. And it's furnished in ways that are not really office-y. They're more, and you will make this up and see this, they're more comfortable. They're more in alignment with how you feel. They're more in alignment with the kind of feeling that those people, your patients and your clients, are going to have when they walk out your door.
Mm-hmm.
And who is this wonderful receptionist you got? You cannot believe your luck. But there she is, Samantha, in all her glory, in a teal, beautiful teal outfit with little touches of gold. And she,
I love it. I love that this is going to make me laugh out loud. Every
exactly.
Time.
So you know what to do, Jennifer, you know, do the visualization for 4 weeks, do it 30 times a day if you can. Really do that sense around feeling. After 4 weeks, just do it twice a day, night and morning, and see what happens. And any time that you even feel that little voice in yourself going, oh, I'm not so sure about this, bring on the visualization, you know? And it will, you know, you watch your dreams, it will reflect through on the way to totally owning that, as that old belief or those old questioning self-beliefs or questioning competitive beliefs crumble. You may see elements of that in your dream. You may cry. There may be some letting go. So go, yep, this is good. This is on the way to everything being good. I like this. This is great. You know,
okay.
How does all that sound?
It sounds great. Absolutely.
Good. Any other questions?
No, I'm really, really happy with everything we've talked about. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Look, thank you for sharing that enormously. And as the, you know, days and weeks go by, do get back with me either personally, you know, either confidentially to me or in ways that you want to share with everybody listening in to let us know how you go. And also, if, you know, when I talk to you later, even though you're working under your physician name, if there's any, details that you ever want to give, kind of like, you know, to just mention through my own blogs and things, let me know and I'll direct people your way. But on the other hand, you may just want to stay confidential about that. But thanks for everything today, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. You can find out more information on my website at www.dream.net.au or my blog at janetereza.com. It's been a long podcast, so I'm not going to hang in here long, but just remember, particularly if you're interested in experiencing the alchemy, go to either of those websites, find out a lot more, start making some big, wonderful changes in your life just through doing dream alchemy. Catch you next week, next Friday. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.